Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
The Las Vegas Raiders have traded the 91st pick to the New England Patriots. And with the 91st pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the New England Patriots have selected Devin Asiasi, tight end, UCLA.
Roger, take a load off. Relax. We've got this. Asiasi played two seasons at UCLA after transferring from Michigan. He was rated as the number three tight end in the class of 2016. What do we think of this? Because obviously, they're looking for tight end help as well.
Yeah, Trey, when you watch him, he play him flexed out. You'll see him in line a little bit, but somebody that can really stretch the seam. He's a vertical seam stretcher. You see him do that a bunch on tape, particularly at the end of the year. He had a phenomenal game against USC with some big plays working down the field. You see the athleticism after the catch. He went to De La Salle High School up in the Bay Area, which is a powerhouse, one of the best high school programs in the country. Eventually found his way to UCLA. Same high school as Maurice Jones-Drew. Same college as Maurice Jones-Drew, so I know MJD's pumped up about this pick.
Well, we'll see how.
Yeah, that was the pick last night where Goodell is completely gassed in the chair. Patriots, the 91st pick take tight end Devin Asiasi. Devin Asiasi, one of two tight ends the Patriots took last night. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. I said half-jokingly earlier, if he pans out, you'll have a quick, easy, fun chant for him. You can do like the Aussies do, and instead, when he scores a touchdown, you say, Asiasi, oi, oi, oi. But if it goes the other way, Chris, there's really not going to be a gray area with this kid. If he sucks, well, he'll be assy. Yeah. You're going to have fun with a lot of these names. I can't wait to start taking calls on some of these picks. But your thoughts overall with the Patriots draft so far? And like Chris said, how are you feeling about Bill Belichick now? Is it still in Bill we trust? Because there's been some selections here and moving out of the first round, which I know a lot of people were upset on Thursday night, that now that you have no Tom Brady, well, now we're going to learn whether or not you – this whole system has really been more about you than anything else, or has it just been more about the quarterback? I think the last decade or so, it's been more about the quarterback. So I've really never been like, Bill's infallible. Everything that he does is the right thing. If he wants to take a toe from me and put it in some sort of magic stew so he can figure out what the next great thing he can do to, make this team successful again is, have at it. Like, I've really never been that guy. Like, I think, the accolades are warranted. He's one of the great coaches, if not the greatest coach of all time, but his work as a GM, especially in the last 3-4 years, not great. So, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, yeah. I mean, and it's not just the draft; it's the totality of this offseason, the lack of cap space, losing Tom Brady, having Gronkowski go. They haven't really made a splash in free agency. You trade away a guy like Daron Harmon. What's your biggest move of the offseason? It's either re-signing Devin McCourty to a 2-year deal, franchising Joe Tooney at $14.78 million, which means you have about $23.5 million of salary cap space right now tied up in guards. Or is it bringing in Adrian Phillips, a move I really like, a guy from the Los Angeles Chargers? But those are the big moves. And when you look at it on paper, at least, there's more talent exiting Foxborough than entering Foxborough. And the biggest one, the headliner, is obviously Brady. I mean, again, without Brady and just looking at this offseason in totality, is it still in Bill we trust? Is your faith in the least shaken? Or do you feel like this is all part of Bill Belichick's master plan?
Josh in Jamaica Plain, what have you made of the draft so far? And is your confidence shaken in Bill Belichick?
Hey, guys. Listen, that's a great pick. I actually did my research, unlike you clearly have not. Gasper, I think, probably has. What's up, Gasper? But anyway, Dugger, first of all, Lenore is outside of Charlotte, like 30 miles north of Charlotte. This kid grew like 50 pounds and 3 inches during college. He's a beast. I mean, I studied him last, few hours. And his film looks good. And he was a high pick. He's no joke. But and the Michigan kid is a missile also. Both of them hit like missiles. They're hitters. And Duger can return punts also. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, I wanted to mention just, Jim, quickly on the punt return thing. I do think that's a factor, and as much as the Patriots have allocated to special teams, outside of, I'm thinking, 2 years ago when the Cordarrelle Patterson was on the team, just returns, both punt and kickoff, it hasn't really been a strength of theirs. And I know that Duggar can do that, but my concern, he took back 4 punts at Division II, but my concern on that is, how do you know he's actually a good punt returner? Because this is like a 14-year-old playing with 10-year-olds in Pop Warner.
And so that's why I take any of the accolades and attributes that are surrounding this pick last night with a grain of salt. Played in D2. The guys he's playing against, it's like a man among boys. And most of them are probably working in retail right now. So I'm sure he can jump out of the gym and all of that, and maybe they got it right.
They're working in e-tail right now.
Oh, right. Yeah. No retail. Everything closed. Thanks, COVID. But I'm just basing it on second-round defensive back picks selected by Belichick in recent years. And he's got it wrong time and time and time again. And while some websites, like Walter Football, I guess, had this kid slated in the second round.
I like
slotted in the second round. You like him.
Yeah.
There's others that feel like it was a reach. So, I don't know. Again, just basing it on recent history, I was like, ugh, really? And they addressed the need at linebacker. I like those 2 other picks, but I think there's a big question mark on Duggar.
Let me ask you this. Were you upset at all that Xavier McKinney of Alabama went 1 pick before to the Giants?
No. Well, the safety I really liked ended up in Tampa.
Oh, Antoine Winfield?
Antoine Winfield's kid. Chris? I didn't really think that safety was that glaring of a need for them. I would have liked them address it, later in the draft, 3rd, 4th, maybe 5th round, something like that, because I think that they could use some depth there. But for that to be their first pick, that was the head-scratcher to me. They addressed linebacker and other needs that I thought that they had, but I thought you probably should have taken. I liked Kenneth Murray. I would have liked to. I would have preferred them to probably stay at 23 and take someone like that, or Patrick Queen out of LSU, who ended up going to Baltimore.
I mean, I think ultimately that's how this draft is going to be judged for Bill Belichick. Is when you look at 23, which is where you were, you're going to look at all those players and how they do, and then you're going to look at Duggar and how he does, and is there anybody in between that it's like, you should have taken that guy instead? For example, and I'm glad they didn't take Jordan Love. You know how I feel about that. I'm with Bill, lockstep on that one. And I really liked the beginning of this draft. I had no problem trading out. I thought it was a smart move. I thought it was what they were going to do. But if Jordan Love turns out to be something special, we're going to talk about it. I think if Jordan Brooks, the linebacker from Texas Tech, who went to Pete Carroll and pumped in Jack Pete and the Seattle Seahawks, if he's good, Ayuk, the wide receiver from Arizona State, who ended up going to the 49ers, if he's good, we're going to be talking about those guys. So between 23 and 37, if there's somebody who really pops, I think there'll be some second guessing of Belichick. But I'll say that right now, the day after, I liked it. I liked what they did at the beginning. The Jennings pick was the one for me. And even when they were playing, I think it was Mel Kiper we played, and you're talking about how consistent he was. I mean, again, it was pretty much like, tries hard, reliable, smart, instinctive, tries hard. It wasn't like, dynamic hitter, bends the edge, gets to the passer, playmaker. It was like reliable, good guy, leader, tries hard.
Oh, when you hear that, you know why he's a Patriot, right?
Yeah.
Mike in New Hampshire, you're next here on Gasper and Murray. Hello.
Hey, how are we doing, guys? How are you this morning?
Good. Thank you.
How are you?
Doing good. Was calling about the survey, Dolphins, the Pats, people being 50-50. Do you think it's more that people have lost faith in the Patriots more than they think the Dolphins are good?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's the only way that's 50-50. Because the Dolphins, look, have had a good offseason. They bring in Van Noy. They bring in a guy like Byron Jones. And they've, you know, on paper, it looks like they're winners in this draft. And they draft, you know, Tua Tagovailoa, and that could be their quarterback. But we don't know anything about any of these players in terms of what they can do in the NFL, including Tua, who I love. So that is absolutely, to me, reflective of a diminishing faith in the Patriots more than is all of a sudden the Dolphins are this team on the rise.
Randy, in Providence, is your faith shaken in Bill Belichick after watching the first couple of nights of the draft?
Good morning, boys. So there's no reason yet for us to say our faith is shaken, but I will say that there's a short leash. And the reason why is because everyone knows playing for Bill is tough. He's a pain in the butt, and you're going to make 80 cents on the dollar if you're a talented player to go somewhere else. But you come here because he's a winner. Now, if we throw down an 8-8 season, it's going to be very, very difficult for us to attract top talent because you're not going to want to come to the New England and not have any fun, not make any money, and throw down an 8-8 season. We're only going to be able to get guys that are washed up or weren't worth a shake in the beginning. So it's very critical for Bill to put down the legacy that this is still where you come if you want to be a winner. Otherwise, we're going to be in trouble going forward. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Randy. So do you think that he has a short leash now? Like, we're looking at, does he get a pass this year? Because
yes.
Brady's gone, and if they have a sub-500 year, that's really not going to be a reflection on him.
I think there's people that, yeah, if they have a sub-500 year, people will say, there's people out there that he can just do no wrong. And
no, I mean in terms of ownership.
Oh, no. They're committed. No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I mean, they know what Bill Belichick is and what he's done for their franchise. And I think they sort of already made that choice, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, what if Jonathan ultimately takes over the reins here in the next few years? Like, do you think, you know, based on things?
I mean, I can't speak for it. I think there's a great deal of respect there, and they realize how successful they've been, and they know what they have in Bill Belichick, and it doesn't seem like Bill's slowing down anytime soon. You know, Bill's never going to come out and say they're retooling, rebuilding, reloading, whatever you want to say. But this does sort of seem like a reset year a little bit. He's not going to come out and say that. He never would. But maybe internally there are sort of those expectations, and that would give him a little bit more of a leash. You know, but what's interesting, I just want to say really quickly, because I thought the caller brought up a really pertinent point, which is what the Patriots refer to as brand equity that they've had in the past with free agents. I remember sitting down with Robert Kraft at the owners' meetings in 2009 in Dana Point, California, and he referenced to me, you know, we feel like we have this brand equity in the free agent market, that people want to play for the Patriots, that they're willing to take a little bit less to be a part of the organization. And to the caller's point, does that work for them anymore? Does that work as good as you've been? Does 1-7-9, 6-10 season just wipe that out?
No, not one, but two, or 6-10, 5-11. If it's that bad for a few years, they might have a shorter leash, especially if there's success in Tampa with
Brady. I mean, I honestly think the brand equity part of it with players, I do think one season of 6-10, like the guys who are going to be free agents after this year, if there's a team offering you more money and the Patriots are coming off a 6-10, where in the past, if you knew, okay, I can take less money to play here, but I'm probably going to play in an AFC championship game or in the Super Bowl. But if they're coming off a 6-10, I mean, it's a what have you done for me lately league.
Yeah.
I really think that brand equity would be diminished.
In just 1 year, huh?
But I mean, that's the way the players work. You know, they're going to look at it and say, wait, you want to pay me, you know, 85% of what this other team is? Well, who's your Stidham's your quarterback? You went 6-10, huh? Okay. And you're not going to wine and dine me? I'm just going to show up in Fox what? And we're just going to talk football. Let me get back to you.
I'm going to go to Terry in Franklin with your thoughts on the draft so far for the past. What do you think, Terry?
Hey, good morning, folks. I'm going to dig into my bag of Gasper vocabulary.
Do it.
I'm apoplectic.
Yes. Love it.
That's a good one. Okay.
That is a good one.
You traded down 14 places to take a kid that played 6 years at a D2 college. He put up numbers against guys that are going to be barred from contempt eventually. It's mind-numbing, and I appreciate, and I'm hearing that I'm not the only one that was screaming at my TV last night. Now, UK might turn out to be a good pick. He was not a starter until his senior year at Michigan, and Michigan has not exactly been a powerhouse. The kid from Alabama, hearing not such great things about him. But the one that's really head-scratching for me is the tight end. Asiasi may turn out to be a really good player, but you had two shots there at Adam Troutman, the kid from Dayton, who he might turn out to be a Gronk light. Loves to block, loves to be physical, really gets after it, can get downfield. It was mind-numbing that they traded up again and took the kid from Virginia Tech, and Troutman went, what, four or five picks later to New Orleans. That's a steal.
Terry, thanks for the call, because I know that's who you wanted, right? And it's not a strong tight end class, but that's another one that you're going to have your eye on going
definitely
forward.
Definitely, yeah. What happened? I think Troutman landed in a good situation with a very creative offensive coach with Sean Payton. We'll be keeping an eye on that. You know, how do Asiasi and Dalton Keene? I mean, they must have really liked Dalton Keene, and I tweeted this out, because when you look at what they did to get Dalton Keene, it was a lot. I mean, it's really sort of like an unprecedented trade for the Patriots when you look at that. A, trading with the Jets, and Bill hates the Jets, you know, with the fire of a thousand suns. He just does. They gave up three picks to move up and get him, and they wiped out the entire fourth round of their draft and creating a 58-pick gap. I mean, they don't pick again until the fifth round at 159. So I guess they really like this guy. I mean, he better be George Kittle light for all that.
All right, couple open lines you want to join us, 617-779-0985. Continue to get your thoughts on the NFL draft so far, whether or not your confidence is shaken in Bill Belichick because what you've seen, especially after last night, taking a Division II safety out of Lenoir Ryan with their first pick.
It's a good pick. It's a good get on board, people. This is a good pick.
I'll take your word for it for now. But, you know, it's actually been a busy week despite the pandemic. We have things to talk about today outside. You know, it's not going to be me saying, hey, do you notice how Dr. Fauci sounds like CeCe DeVille from Poison all over again? Driving people nuts doing that. But, hey, I got to do what I got to do. Rob Gronkowski out of retirement, joining Tom Brady in Tampa. Want to get your thoughts on that, Chris, when we come back here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
For over 100. So let me talk about Tom Brady. Boy, is this a charm life. You know what Tampa needs is a really good right tackle. Oh, wait. The best offensive lineman that dropped out of the top 10 is there, Tristan Wirfs, at number 13. How great was that? I mean, it's just, here's the thing. Right now, Tampa is giving Tom everything he didn't have. He's having fun. He's got a loose coach. He's got weapons. He's got warm weather. And he's got a staff that is obviously listening to him. I feel like Tom right now feels supported. All the boxes are being checked that weren't checked in Tampa, including, I bet you, Jason Light, the general manager, talked to Tom. They had an hour phone call and said, listen, we need a right tackle. That's going to be our first pick. You think Belichick's telling Tom what his first pick's going to be? No. And then Tom probably said, you know what I want? Can I bring Gronk? I mean, this stuff was prearranged, okay? This is not just happenstance. This is something Tampa told Tom Brady was going to happen, and this is what he wanted. He wanted fun. He wanted weapons. He wanted to be heard about personnel. Boom, now he is.
FS1's Colin Coward on the week for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So, busy week, thankfully, gave us stuff to talk about. Patriots trade unretired tight end Rob Gronkowski to the Bucs, joins Brady there. Patriots send Gronk in a seventh rounder to Tampa Bay in exchange for a fourth round pick. So this thing happened so fast, Chris. I think it was, what, Wednesday is when it was? Wednesday, Tuesday, whatever it was. All the days get mixed up.
I know. Every day's the same.
But it went from, in a matter of like 30 minutes, it was like someone lit a match and then you just had this big burning fire. It was rumors that Gronk could be coming out of retirement. And there's been talks between he and the Patriots, and maybe he could join Brady. And within a half hour, he was a Buck for a fourth-round pick. So the return, his unretiring, do you feel like he did the Patriots dirty last year? Your whole thoughts on how this thing went down?
I don't feel like he did the Patriots dirty. You know, I mean, I talked to somebody who's in his circle, and the injury thing was real. I mean, he was battered and broken and beaten in a lot of ways. And you remember the Super Bowl, which he ended up winning for them against the Rams. That bruise, that contusion he had a liter of blood drained from his thigh. Mm. That's not fun. So I think he mentally and physically, he was beaten and broken down. The mental part, I think, had a lot to do with Belichick. And I don't care what he said in his Zoom conference call. And I was on that conference call. And I know he posted something on Instagram, too. And I think he is grateful on some level to the Patriots. And while he's been complimentary and conciliatory, look, the reality is he didn't want to play for Bill again. All you need to go is go. All you need to do is go back to that "be free, be happy" Instagram post he sent when Danny Amendola left and went to Miami. That tells you what his mindset was at the time, and I think that's sort of still the prevailing thing both for him and for Tom Brady. So at the end of the day, I don't have a problem with what Gronk is doing. He gave heart, soul, body, mind to the Patriots, helped them win a sixth Super Bowl. I know some people are mad about him canceling that trade to Detroit, but let me ask you this, Jim. Would you rather have those draft picks they would have gotten from Detroit or another Lombardi trophy? Because you are not winning the Super Bowl without him.
No, because he was, I mean, even though that was a down year for him in 2018, he was really, really good in the postseason. He was Gronk again. So, no, I'd rather have the title. It's titles over everything for me. So.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You know, people go, oh, you know, he screwed us on that trade and the draft capital and all that other stuff. And, like, I get it, but you don't win that Super Bowl without him.
Yeah, the Detroit thing, I have no problem with him squashing that. I did think he did them dirty last year, at least when they went into the offseason, where, like, he knew he was going to retire. And so if he got ahead of it and did the team a solid, they probably could have had Jared Cook last year because there was interest there.
Yes.
I remember Cook saying, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was something along the lines of, like, well, yeah, I was interested, but I don't know if Gronk's coming back, and I'm not playing behind him, so no. And he went to New Orleans, and he had a really good season. So you ended up with, you know, Lacoste and Izzo at tight end last year. They obviously didn't address it in the draft, and that's on
Belichick.
But
is that Gronk's fault?
That's on Belichick.
I mean, you miss Cook, but is that Gronk's fault? You didn't get anybody else?
Free agency, I think. They didn't know, Chris. Like, they were hamstrung by him in terms of free agency.
But here's the part I don't get, though, and you can't have it both ways if you're Belichick on this. So you tried to trade the guy. So you basically felt like you're ready to move on without him and you're going to build a football team without him. Then he helps you win a Super Bowl. He's going into an offseason where he might retire and you had previously planned to not have him. But now all of a sudden you're just completely paralyzed at tight end until he gives you an announcement. You have no plans for what you're going to do at that position without Rob Gronkowski, even though the year before you were ready to unfurl a plan of playing without Rob Gronkowski. I don't get that.
I just think it makes it a little bit more difficult in terms of what they're going to do and their maneuverability if they feel like he is going to still play and not retire. So I do put that ultimately on Gronk. Overall, how this situation devolved, though, I think it's on Bill that you can't get along with the two greatest players in franchise history. You know, like,
well, I think Gronkowski is really center in a lot of ways to the power struggle between Brady and Belichick. Because remember some of the stuff that was happening with Gronk and the injuries, and he stopped doing the weight training and it became sort of like an Alex Guerrero TB12 disciple. And then I think Bedard was the first really to talk about the idea the Patriots weren't thrilled with Gronk's body type and they felt like he had lost something
lean,
blocking.
Yeah.
I think the whole Alex Guerrero being banned thing had something to do with the influence over Gronkowski. I think Gronkowski was sort of caught in a power struggle between Brady and Belichick, and now we know very clearly which side he chose.
Yeah, this is where I put this on Bill. If I'm Robert Kraft, and especially Jonathan, if he takes over here in the next year, 2 years, or at least right now, like, I sit back and I'm asking myself, like, wait a minute. The two greatest players in this franchise's history are in Tampa because you can't get along with them? Wait a minute, huh? So if the Patriots, as you said, you know, the brand equity thing, if they take any kind of hit here, Chris, in the next few seasons, financially, public opinion, TV ratings, brand equity, that kind of thing, that's where the clock is ticking on Belichick. You don't have a long leash. If you don't produce a winning product without these two in the next couple of seasons, and they have success in Tampa and, God forbid, win a Super Bowl next year, you're out. I don't care about your legacy because he didn't care about Brady or Gronk's legacy, and I think, at least I do, like, I think people tune in, Chris, or especially they go to the stadium because of the players, not the coach. And I don't believe that like a dad brings his 8-year-old kid to Gillette Stadium to be like, ooh, you know, like, look how coached up that special teams player is. No, you go for the likes of Brady and Gronk. And yeah,
let's be honest, Jim, you really go to drink.
Oh, there's that too. Yeah, I do like a tailgate time. Man, I'm going to miss that. I don't know. I think it's pretty telling that Gronk would have rather retired than play for this guy again. If Brady didn't get a really good offer from Tampa, and granted the market wasn't that great for him, but I think if that was a bad offer from Tampa that gets put in front of him and the choices were come back here or retire, he also retires. So the anti-Belichick sentiment is so strong from players like that, they'd rather retire than play for him.
Like, so you're saying
that's telling.
That is telling, and you're basically what you're saying is that Bill Belichick is repelling talent.
Yeah. And I know the counter is, well, what about the McCourties and Slater? Like, they're just good soldiers, and they're not on the level of Brady and Gronk. Like, that's
well, I don't think I'll say
stop
this.
It.
I'll say this to your point there, Jim. I don't think, and Devin's kind of hinted, I don't think Devin McCourty comes back if they don't pick up Jason McCourty's option.
Oh yeah, no, they had to do right by him here in these last few years too to get him back on the program. I don't know. I think the clock may start ticking on.
So I just want to say a couple of things on that. One, I think they can't move on from Belichick because he's the face of the franchise at this point. And I do think a lot of people in this area have always said it's about the coach. He's the rare coach that kind of, you know, transcends. And I think that maybe they do show up to say, hey, son, you know, I'm going to let you see live and in person what a Bill Belichick football team looks like. So I think there's that element of it. He's the face of the franchise. I also think there's like a Derek Jeter factor here. Remember when Jeter was trying to get the 3,000 hits and it was the respect thing and all that? Well, now it's about
the wins.
It's about Belichick trying to pass Shula. That in and of itself is I think, a draw for a lot of people. So I don't think Bill's going anywhere. And then to your point on Gronk, what's the most telling about the Gronk situation to me is he didn't make Tampa tweak the contract. And part of the holdup last year with his retirement with the Patriots was the health thing was real, but he basically was like, if I'm going to risk my body, have no fun and be miserable and play for this guy, you got to give me a better contract. And they were like, no. And so he ends up retiring. But Tampa now, he's like, yeah, oh, I can play with Tom in Tampa. Oh, my contract's fine. No problem, guys. Sign me up. Just happy to be back.
How crazy did that press conference thing that he did the other day drive you when he kept saying, hands down, especially for someone who is so worldly and learned as you, to hear that must have driven you crazy. Hands down, it was a great franchise to play for, but hands down, it was also tough. Hands down, this is a great situation for me now in Tampa.
See, that doesn't
hands
bother
down,
me.
Hands down on the desk.
See, that doesn't bother. See, you're big. That's more of an earworm thing, and I have my own verbal tics, which have been pointed out to me many times by listeners. So that doesn't bother me. Like, I'll tell you one that I just did it. Like, there's someone who rips me for using like too much.
Oh, I use it all the time too. I sound like a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah, we both sound like Valley Girls on this show. If anyone's ever seen that movie, here's one for you though. Vince Wilfork always used to say, he would preface almost everything he said with point blank.
Oh, really?
Remember? He'd be like, point blank, point blank. And it didn't bother me. And I think that's the same thing with the Gronk. But this Gronk hands down thing seems like it's up there with the Dave O'Brien whistle and some other earworms that just drive you insane.
Hands down, this was a good situation. Hands down, my body was starting to betray me. But hands down, I've been putting in the work. And hands down, I'm feeling better. Hands down on Camille's ass. Like that one, I don't blame you for. All right, full phone lines. We'll get right to your calls next. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Up.
Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
My reaction is hard to explain, but I say it's probably the closest thing. It definitely beat Christmas, my first Christmas, I'd say. But I did know that they were going to have interest in me. I was talking to them a lot during this process, a lot with Belichick. And so I did know they had interest.
Not the greatest sound, but that's new Patriot safety Kyle Duggar saying he knew the Patriots were interested. He out of Lenoir Rhine.
Huh? Where?
Division II school. And he's a little old, ain't he? 24?
He's 24.
24 going on 25. He played there 6 years. Was that correct from what a caller?
Yeah, no, that was correct. He missed a year with injury. Yeah.
All right, it's Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Your thoughts on that? That was the first pick for the Patriots last night. They made 5 selections last night. So your thoughts on that? And is your confidence a little bit shaken in Bill Belichick after the first couple of nights of the 2020 NFL virtual draft? Well, to you we go. Let's go to Mark and Peabody on the new safety, Duggar. Hey, go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Chris, Jim, how are you?
Good, what's up?
Good, how are you?
Good. Yeah, good, good. So that was a reach. What is it, Alan the Rhymes, Alan the Rigby? Who, what, who died? What school is that? What country is that school in?
Lenoir Rhine. Apparently it's down in South Carolina.
Never heard of it.
It's south of the Mason-Dixon, so technically it is in a different country.
Yeah, that was a reach. This is what he does. He'll take a fifth-round pick and turn it into a second, although I heard this guy was moving up the board.
Well, Chris, you like the – and thanks for the call, Mark.
Yeah, I like the – this is not like a Jordan Richards, Tavon Wilson pick where the Patriots are reaching for some guy that other teams don't know about. I'm very confident that if they didn't take him in the second round, someone else was going to take this guy in the second round of the draft. This is not like that type of reach. I know we haven't heard of the school, and I'm not going to pretend that I've seen this guy play other than the clips that they've shown. But just, again, reading the draft guides, talking to a couple people in the league, he played at the Senior Bowl. And this is one of the things about this year that's really interesting, is that the Senior Bowl and the Combine were really the last events of the offseason and the draft process that went off as they normally would. So I think that those events left maybe outsized impressions on talent evaluators and player pickers this year. I don't think Kyle Duggar goes as high as he ends up going if he doesn't play really well at the Senior Bowl. And the Senior Bowl is not the thing about the Senior Bowl is this. It's not about the game. It's about the week of practices. That's what all the talent evaluators like Bill Belichick are watching. I guarantee Belichick wasn't even there when they played the game. He'd already gone home. But you're watching these guys in practice day after day against the talent level that they have to match up with against their peers. And Duggar played really well. So there were other teams interested. This is not the type of reach that we've seen in the past where they're just drafting somebody that another team would not take in that spot. Other teams would have taken Duggar.
All right, put yourself in Belichick's shoes for that week of watching those practices at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. Who do you think he sees? Who's the comp?
In Duggar?
That's
a good question. I'm trying to think of a safety who's versatile enough to come down in the box but also can play deep center field off the top of my head.
Or maybe one he's had. It doesn't necessarily have to be me be someone that's on another team throughout the league. Do you think he saw him and it's like, that's Rodney? That's...
I'm trying to think. I mean, I wouldn't...
Healthy Pat Chung?
I wouldn't say... Chung, you know, Chung would be a good one, actually, because Chung... I was at the Senior Bowl the year Chung was there, and I think Chung would actually be a pretty good comp, because when Chung came out, there was the idea that he could do both, and he still can kind of do both, although he's better in the box than he is deep. But when Chung came out and I was at that Senior Bowl, they actually had him lining up at corner and matching up in the one-on-ones with wide receivers. And I don't know if you remember this, but when Chung first was here, one of the things they had him do was play the slot, and he played the slot against the Indianapolis Colts. It didn't go so well. And I'm trying to remember the name of the Colts wide receiver who lit him up out of the slot. I can't remember it. And then also just remember when Malcolm Butler didn't play, you go back to that Super Bowl, Super Bowl 52, Chung ended up playing some slot corner in that game as well. So that's a guy I would compare him to. That makes sense.
And some people might hear that and think like, well, that's not good enough. I like Pat Chung, at least this time around. The first time, like, you know.
Chung's one of Bill's favorite players.
Yeah, and I love him. I think he's maybe the toughest son of a bitch on the team. The problem is he's taken a beating these last few years. And so if he's Pat Chung 2.0, like, okay, like that's good for me.
And I think this guy has a little more deep range than Chung ended up having. But coming out, I think it's a pretty good comparison. And Chung was a second round pick.
I think I'm locked up here on the phone lines here, B-Rub. Oh, no, I think I got it fixed. Let's go to Andrew in Westboro. Your thoughts on the Patriots draft so far. Nope, it's all jammed up. Go ahead, Andrew. Hey.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Real quick, I think that the Pats actually did pretty well the last two nights. I think they filled a lot of needs. At the end of the day, since you guys changed the conversation or took the conversation towards Belichick, Murray, one thing that your show complains about maybe more than anything is how bad the coaching in the NFL is. And that's one thing to keep in mind when people are saying, oh, you got to get rid of Bill. He's terrible. You got to get rid of him. What are the odds that you're going to get anybody even relatively competent once he actually does go out the door? Because you could end up with an absolute stiff like Bill O'Brien. So for the time being, I'm going to take my chances with Bill, despite some of his struggles in the draft, because I still think he's going to find guys that are undrafted free agents or on practice squad somewhere and be able to put together at least a good enough team to be competitive week in and week out. That's my thoughts, and I'm hoping that they continue some of the momentum tonight.
Thanks, Andrew. Oh, no. Damn phone thing. It makes me so mad. Can we get through one effing show with it working just once for three effing hours? It ain't that much of an ask. Like, let's go to, what do we have next here? Oh, like you're just hanging up on people. You're getting open lines. The thing freezes up on you like it's Windows 95. God, I hate it so effing much.
I thought we were on like Crank Yanker.
Oh, all right. So we'll get to more of your calls. I guess we have two open lines. I don't know. What I'm looking at is frozen. So we'll try to get to more of your calls next. Poor B-Rub doing the job of like five back there, too. So be nice to him if you're trying to get through. We'll get to more of your calls. And I also want to get to the two biggest wow moments of the draft coming up, at least to me, here on Gasper Murray.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He should feel disgusted. He should feel insulted. And as far as I'm concerned, if I was Aaron Rodgers, I'd ask to be traded. To hell with all of them. Kick rocks. Have a nice life. I'll move on without you. That's how I feel Aaron Rodgers should feel at this particular moment in time. Let me be very, very clear about where I stand. This is no knock against Jordan Love. I want to make sure I'm clear about that, Adam. It's no mark against Jordan Love whatsoever. He may have the potential. Matt LaFleur may have every right to feel as exuberant about him as he may feel. But there comes a point in time where you got to listen and really dissect the words of certain people. Like Gutekunst, GM, he goes out there and he says last night, what does he say? Aaron Rodgers is a professional. He understands what this is about. This is about now. Well, it's not about now. It's about 2 years from now. It could be about 3 or 4 years from now. But certainly it's not about now. Feeding off an NFC Championship game appearance, which you just had.
ESPN's Stephen A. Smith on what I thought was the biggest wow moment of night one. I think there's been two wow moments in the draft so far. But night one, Jordan Love, 26th overall in the first round of the Green Bay Packers. Quarterback, a ballsy move that I think puts Aaron Rodgers on notice. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. And maybe, so, you know, I don't know if you listened to Felger and Mazz at all yesterday, Chris. I've been very busy with the draft and everything going on. But Mike, a Packers fan, loved this because, you know, this maybe now lights a fire under the ass of Aaron Rodgers, kind of like how the selection of Jimmy Garoppolo did in 2014, lit the fire under the ass of Tom Brady. You got the best out of Brady before he moves on here to Tampa. And, okay, that can all be great, but I don't know. I look at this, like, I found, again, a wild moment to me because this team's in win-now mode, right? Like, they were just in the NFC Championship game. Granted, they got waxed by San Francisco, but Aaron Rodgers, yeah, his attitude's been bad here the last couple of years, but I don't know. Like, you still try to help that guy out. You need to get another wide receiver. They basically have Davante Adams and crap at that position. They could use a linebacker. You could get a better tight end, and they addressed that last night. They took the kid out of Cincinnati. But I just feel like the team's in win-now mode. You do build around Aaron Rodgers. And this was one big FU to select this kid 26th overall in the first round. So you get a young quarterback that sits behind Rodgers, who you know he's not going to help. And you try to bring him up over the next couple of seasons when you're also trying to win a title at the same time. If I'm not just Rodgers, if I'm another one of the players on that team, on both sides of the ball, I'm pissed. That was a dumb pick to me.
Well, but didn't people say that at the time when they picked Rodgers, who slid in the draft in 2005, and they still had Brett Favre?
It's not time. I guess it maybe made a little bit more sense at that time with Green Bay with Favre, but I don't know. Like, I just thought when they made the coaching change, the GM change here in the last few years, like, they're in on Rodgers for the next five, six seasons, and they are clearly not with that one.
Here's something I would say in regard to this. Aaron Rodgers does have a tendency to get a little dinged up, right? 2017, he only played 7 games. The team ended up struggling that year. And even the last couple of years, you know, he plays, but he gets these little nagging injuries that seem to bother him. And he is 36 years old. So, yes, this is a pick for the future. But maybe they feel like, hey, you know, we need to have a quarterback behind Aaron who not only can be part of the succession plan, but if he gets hurt and has to miss 4 or 5 games, we can't have our whole season tank like it did a few years ago when we had to put Brett Hundley out there and we went nowhere.
Yeah, but you think this kid sucks anyway, right?
Yeah, I do.
It was too high for him to get selected.
He's boom or bust. I mean, and if he's boom, I think he'll be special. I just think the bust potential there is really high. And teams are interested in him because right now he's kind of one of those de rigueur picks in the NFL because he somewhat resembles Patrick Mahomes. I don't think this guy's Patrick Mahomes. I love Patrick Mahomes coming out. Not in a million years did I think Patrick Mahomes was going to be this. I knew I liked him coming out. I liked him at Texas Tech. I don't like this kid coming out, and I don't think he's going to be anything close to Patrick Mahomes.
All right, we'll get to the other wow moment that happened last night coming up here, but I want to get to more of your calls. Keith in Rhode Island, been hanging a bit, wants to talk about Bill Belichick. Has your faith been shaken here with the first couple of nights of the draft here, Keith?
Yeah, absolutely, Murray. Hey, Gasper.
Hey.
Listen, I am so tired of Bill's bargain basement shopping, man. I don't know why he's going to make his job so much harder than it is, spending three quarters of the offseason coaching guys up when he can just go and get a guy that's already proven, like Grant Delpit or whatever. He's obviously whiffing on Jake Fromm because he thinks Stidham's the guy. And I'm an SEC fan, and Stidham is not the guy. Trust me. So I don't know what you guys think about the whole, you know, value picks, but I'm getting tired of them. And I think Tom Brady over the last, especially over the last 6 years, has been covering up his drafting whiffs. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too, Keith.
That was a good call.
Yeah, and I think he's not alone. Again, just not just from what I saw on Twitter last night, just from texts from friends last night. When they make that selection of Duggar, it was like, what are we doing? Why is he doing this again? Like, it's so Belichick. Ah! So is this bargain basement shopping? You think no. Like, you actually like
no. Look, they went in. I mean, they gave up the second round pick for Sanu. They had a huge gap, 23-87 in this draft. Universally in the league, people felt like the sweet spot of the draft was sort of the second round. They got into that sweet spot and they picked a guy that I'm telling you, this is not Jordan Richards, Tavon Wilson. This is a guy that somebody else would have taken high in the second round. He was very well regarded. I think a lot of people felt like McKinney was number one. And then number two, some people had Duggar number two on their board. Some people had Delpit on their board. I like Delpit a lot as well, but he didn't have a great year last year. He was a little banged up, but he did not have a great season.
Let's go to Scott and Southie on the Patriots draft so far. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, great segment earlier, by the way. I got a very simple question, but real quick, what was the tick that you guys confessed to that you said you sound like Valley Girls?
We use the word too much. I definitely use that word too much.
I guess, right? I appreciate the honesty. So
yeah.
I'm sure you guys already covered this, so very elementary question, but after watching some of the highlights of Kenneth Murray, can you guys just explain to me just real basically why the pass didn't take Murray at 23? And I'll hang up and listen.
I think it was the last name Murray. There's a lot of losers with that.
it's bad lineage, let me tell you. It's just a flat ass. It's a life with no ass. It's just leg to back. Let me tell you. I'll stand up and show you, Chris.
Let me see. We're socially distanced.
The Murray curse. Yeah. It's just like I got an ass like a CD case.
The CrossFit didn't do anything for that?
Nothing.
Really?
Nope,
those burpees and squats didn't do a thing?
Not. There will be never. I will never have any junk in the trunk. It's the Murray curse.
Interesting.
We all just it's like a board.
I have like the opposite issue.
The Kenneth Murray thing, though. So, you know, the knock was he's undersized, 6'2", like 240. At least that's what the argument was from Felger. And it's like, okay, you know, they like their linebackers big historically. Yeah, but you took one last night that's 6'1 out of Michigan. So, huh?
But the other guy's more of the other guy is more dynamic in terms of pass rush.
Kenneth, you mean Uche.
Uche.
Yes. But Murray was a good leader, tackling machine. He's reliable. He never missed games there in 3 years. Goes sideline to sideline. Good blitzer. Like, everything you read about him, or just watch highlights, it's like, okay, this is the guy. And I wasn't alone. Like, that's who people wanted to pick 23. He goes to 23, but just not you. It goes to the L.A. Chargers. So, I get it. You know, they got a lot of holes to fill here. I can understand why they traded out. But you now have the guy that went at your spot. And you keep an eye on him going forward. It's just like Calvin Ridley from a few years ago when he went in between Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel. And you and I at the time, too, were like, that seems curious. But sure. And I liked Michel at the time because I thought he would help in the passing game. Whoops. So, Calvin Ridley turned out to be a stud for the Atlanta Falcons.
Huh. What is it you call Isaiah Wynn?
The broken down fat kid from Georgia. Not a lot of people like that. Very nice kid, but can't stay on the field. And look, I'm a jerk. I'm just doing what I do here. Can't help it.
And you do realize he has this thing where he tweets all these very nice inspirational sayings like win with win Wednesdays. Like, I mean, he's the nicest kid you could ever meet.
Yeah. That's probably why I do what I do, Chris, because I battle back against that kind of what I look at as contrived positivity. One of my good friends right now who does radio at the station I used to work at before I came here, every day at 3:30, you know what he does? In these dark times we're living in.
What does he do?
A segment called The Good in This. The Good in This. Do you know how much that makes me want to die? Like, it's silver lining. The pollution's down. Traffic's not as bad. The Good in This? The Good in This. The Good in This? Really? Like, you know what? Maybe I'll take the president's advice and I'll shoot myself up with some Clorox so I can end it. The Good in This. There's no good in this. That's it. I get it. You work in top 40. You got to do these kind of segments. It's time for the good in this. You know, pollution's down. You know, it's the lowest murder rate in Miami since 1957. There hasn't been anyone killed. See, can't we see the good in this? There's no good in this. That's it. 1 hour to go. Gasper, I'm going to lose it. I mean, we're at how many days, Chris?
I don't even know. I lost track. Every day's the same.
He asked me earlier during a commercial break, like, do you think we'll be able to go out this summer in this nanny state? Probably not. Here's a bet. Here, put this one down on the board.
This is going to be great.
There, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz, the Bankroll Boys. Will Jim Murray get arrested this summer at some point? Like, that's a good bet. That's like 2-1 because I'm going out. I'm going to the beach at some point. I'm doing it. Like, go ahead. Put the cuffs on. Beat me with nightsticks if I have to. At some point, I got to get out of the house.
Can I ask you this? So you're saying Massachusetts is a nanny state. The antithesis of that would be a Georgia. Do you think that there will be these states that sort of open up as like coronavirus havens in terms of being like a place you can go to get away from coronavirus life, whether it's South Carolina or Georgia, number one? And number two, would you go to one of those states?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I know. I've had these conversations with friends already. Like, well, maybe we fly to Jacksonville for Memorial Day. Like, where are we going to stay? The hotels are closed, aren't they? Oh, no, we'll just sleep in the streets. At least it'll be warm out and we can, like, get a beer at a bar. Oh, my God. The good in this. It's time for the good in this. The pollution rate is really down. See the good in this? See how we're all getting along? We're all in this together. That's the good in this. There's no good in this.
See, I would love that. Your buddy would do that segment.
Oh, like, it makes me so... Oh, and if he's the happiest guy. He lives the life of Riley. My joke to him for years has been like, when you got your wisdom teeth taken out as a kid, you probably gain more wisdom. Everything comes up Kevin. He's the anti-me.
Oh, man. He was probably one that, you know, like Avengers Endgame, Thanos with the snap. He's like, well, you know, the good thing about the snap is, you know, we're not consuming as many resources as before.
Oh, yeah.
Half the people. So Thanos did us a favor.
Did you see the insurance companies are giving some of your money back because we're not using our cars as much. See, that's the goodness. The goodness. Oh, you got to be kidding me. All right. Here's the Sports Hub headlines with a crazy person. And then we'll come back for the final hour of Gasper Murray. We'll talk about what the Patriots did last night at the draft. Chris actually likes it. So maybe that'll make you feel better if your confidence is shaken in Bill Belichick. See, Chris looks at the draft and sees
the good in this.
The good in this.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation.org to get involved.